All right. It's going to be kind of a short class today, but we'll keep moving through our book on organic outreach. I still have one copy left if somebody would like it. Anybody? Could you hand that to Wendy back there? Thank you. And if you'd like to order one, how many people bought the book? Anybody here buy it? A couple folks did. All right. Was it easy to get? I mean, did you have any problems? Did you get it on Amazon? Do you know?
Yes. All right.
Okay, good. Amazon. Yes. What? Somebody got it for a dollar? Wow. Oh, used. Got it. Okay. All right. Who doesn't have a copy of our handout from last week? I've got a few extra copies if anybody needs one. Just let me know. I'll just put them up here. I thought by way of introduction for today, we're in chapter one. We just started the first part. And I talked a little bit last week, introductory, and I just wanted to put it up on the board for you to see visually the way Harney lays out his book. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about it. So the first part, there's four parts, and the first one is the heart of the congregation. And I'm just going to heart of the congregation. And then the second part is the mind of the congregation. The third part, and you'll see I'm kind of going backwards on this, the hands of the congregation. And then the last part is the mouth of the congregation. Okay. So, and if I did this at the top, you know, this is like a pyramid, if you think about it. So do you see how what he's laying at up front is the foundation. And that is, and we want to jump so quickly to, so how do I go about sharing? How do I speak the gospel? How do I get out there and do that thing that makes me so nervous, right? But he does a good job of saying, okay, we have to start by talking about our heart and where our heart is and where what are we committed to in our heart. And then we have to think about these things. We have to consider. God has given us amazing minds. Quite often, we skip by all of this. We don't want to do this. We go straight to, just tell me how to do this. In reality, if we're thinking about these things that God has laid on our heart, what it really means to love our neighbor and to love the Lord with all of our mind. And then something that we're probably a little bit more comfortable with is demonstrating with our actions, you know, the hands of the congregation, doing things, demonstrating the goodness of God and the gospel. And then finally, what is probably the most difficult thing for us, and that's expressing with our mouths the love that God has placed in our hearts and how that the gospel, what that means to us, and how to communicate that to the lost. So, but it starts right here with the heart of congregation. So this is part one, this is part two, this is part three, this is part four. And then within part one, the very first thing is, do you love God? That's number one. And then number two, and I would probably switch two and three, but do you love the world? And by that, meaning the lost. And then number three, do you love the church? It So that's part of this right here. So I think loving God is what we're going to be talking about today. And then we'll talk about these other. You can see where I think loving the church is probably, you know, you come into the church, we love one another, and we express that love, and we kind of test that love for the world in the church. It's kind of a proving ground. And then loving the world outside of the church. Very similar to what Pastor Schroeder was talking about today in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And if you missed it, Eric's mini sermonette after that, which was a very good personal description of the struggle that I'm sure not just Eric, but each one of us has in dealing with the reality of that parable. So so that's what we're talking about today. So chapter 1. Some of the questions that we asked last week, and I think this gets right to the heart of it, the heart of the congregation, and where is our heart? You know, does Harvest's heart beat with the love and compassion of the living God? And what does that really mean? You know, we said that this is the foundation, like showing up here, of any strategy or policy or practice of the church. Are we demonstrating? Is it something that either helps us to cultivate a stronger love for God, or is it something that helps us to demonstrate that love for others? And one of the statements that Harney makes, I don't have the page in here, but he says that when we do not love God, and maybe you could say when we don't love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, but when we don't love God, it is difficult for us to truly love others. And so that's why this is so important. You know, it starts with loving God and understanding what that love means to us. So here's a question for you. Should outreach include those that are inside the church, those that are in the church? Why? I'm hearing some yeses. I wasn't hearing a universal chorus of yeses, but yes. Yeah, Eric.
So when we say inside the church, I think of just people I know who are Christians in our community. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. What if we said, and you kind of used the term church broad, right? So very broad. What if we said at Harvest, those that attend Harvest? We tend to think of outreach as simply going out to the lost, right? Just it's the evangelistic, unreached, or difficult to reach or non-responsive, lost of the world. Yes, Troy. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason I bring this up, and this is, again, this is just introductory, but, I mean, I think there tends to be emphasis on, across the spectrum of reaching out to those outside of the church and focusing solely on those that are inside the church, right? So the ingrown church on one end, where your focus is really just on people that come through the door. You don't look outside. But then there are other churches, not Harvest, I'm not describing Harvest by any means, but that are solely focused on those that are outside. And they don't think about what it means to be a congregation and the life and the body. I mean, you're just getting people in so that they have that, you know, that salvation that you have. You're just trying to spread the good news outside of the church, and the church inside essentially is a mess, you know. So you got a very, very neat church on one end of the spectrum that has no impact on the world. You've got a church on the other end of the spectrum that's trying to impact the world and is kind of messy on the inside. And so, you know, we're trying to learn from both ends of those spectrum, do what is best for, you know, the congregation, and at the same time mobilize this congregation for what God has really, you know, created us for, and that is to worship Him and to draw others into that worship. The other part of that question is everybody that comes to Harvest, is everybody that's here, are they a believer? Did anybody here go to church for some period of time before they gave themselves over to Christ? Yeah. I mean, it was like a few years of going to church before I committed myself to the Lord. So there's an element of outreach. I mean, we just can't forget about it. You know, the gospel should be preached and taught faithfully in the church, and then use that in ways that we'll talk about to mobilize outside the church. Okay, so chapter 1 in part 1 talks about loving God. And as Harney is good at doing, you know, he comes up with three scenarios for kind of describing what a church's heart looks like. And it's based upon a human heart, right? Yeah, so so there's three of them. Flatline. Those of you in the medical community, you know, well, if you've watched any TV with, you know, okay. So what is flatline? It's dead, right? So how do you translate that in terms of their love for God? Very cold. There isn't any. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, that could be, that's like a symptom of it maybe, right? So their love is misplaced. You know, it's not to the true God. It's to a God of their making, or a misunderstanding of who the true God is. Yeah. Yes, Renee.
Is this referring to a church?
Yes, yeah, the congregation. So we kind of all throw ourselves in this boat, which, you know, the goal of this is to evaluate Harvest as a whole. Each one of us, I mean, Harvest is made up of us individually and collectively together. So, yes.
Yeah. They're just using Christ as a pretext for getting together, but really the focus is on the social relationship.
Right. And I think that's probably one of the most common pitfalls for any church. I mean, because you do want, I mean, we want to get together, right? We want to do things. We want to nurture those that are members of Harvest. We want to disciple. We want to do all those things, but you're right, it tends to be more of a social club. And we'll talk as we go through this, the difference between a social club view of the church and a biblical view of the church. So, did I see another hand over here? Yes, Troy.
It kind of goes with the Pharisaical remark, like the pre
Right. So that would be another symptom of a flatline church, describing one. Okay, yeah, he says these churches are usually closed off to visitors, so they don't make visitors welcome. Their community and the world, they don't reach out or train their members to share Jesus' love. Prayer for their community is non-existent. So, you know, I think that's one of the things that we could work on. We tend to pray for the body here. Although, when you take a look at our bulletin, you'll see many prayer requests that do go out to the community. Can anybody think of any prayer requests that, you know, that we pray regularly that are outreach-type prayer requests? Praying for our missionaries and in their work. Yes, Renee? Alternatives, right. Because that's... Yeah, San Marcos, CSU San Marcos, international students, when that's on there. So for Troy. Yes, right. We do have in our bulletin a reminder to pray for our unbelieving relatives, right? So... I mean, I think those are good examples of praying for our community, but wait, there's more. Okay, so the second kind of a diagnosis of a church's heart is a weak pulse. So what do you think that means? So it's not flatline. There's a pulse there. It's kind of weak. What do you... Waning love. Right. So when you think about, and really, I mean, we could be evaluating our own hearts individually when we use these kinds of analogies, right? So it could be that we've lost that first love, right? We had it at one point, and now we've gotten complacent. We've taken on more of that social club view of the church and our role in the church, and our love for God is waning or weak. So he says, you might have a map on the wall somewhere with several pins showing where you send money to support missionaries. You know, so you're saying, hey, we do this. You might even have an event or two each year that spiritual seekers are welcome to. So I think we have an event or two each year that we kind of try to promote as outreach opportunities. Might even be friendly or even try to be friendly if a guest or a visitor happens to wander into your church on a Sunday morning. And, excuse me, so what do you think about that at Harvest? How friendly are we to visitors? What's that? Quite friendly?
Yeah, visitors are accosted. They're jumped
out. Okay, yes.
I can confirm you guys are very friendly.
Okay. Okay, and we've actually taken some steps in the last 3 or 4 years to kind of promote that. You'll notice that there is one of these little pulpit things out in the foyer with visitor cards and people that are assigned to do that, you know, to welcome visitors. That was a conscious effort to get people involved and encourage greeting of visitors and to make them feel hospitable. Yes. Okay. Let's see. It says you are nice to people who visit your church. But, so here there's always a button here, right? You don't go out of your way to reach those who are far from God. I mean, so how many visitors would you say that we get that are far from God when they come through that door? How many? What's your feel for it? As all of you who are friendly to visitors and...
We're guessing less than 10%.
Okay. Does anybody agree, disagree with that?
10% of visitors?
I'm guessing it's probably even less than that. I think you're being very generous, but it's probably less than that. I mean, what's the average visitor that comes through the door for Harvest?
Or I think somebody who's hungry for meat and maybe is starting to read some Reformed theology and wants to understand and know more about that, so they're looking for some place where they can get more butt.
Right. I think that's, yes, I think that's right. I think they tend to be somebody that has explored the Reformed faith. I think we have the rare visitor. So the rarest are those that are unchurched. The second rarest are those that come in and don't know what they're getting into. And then probably the most common are those that have been exposed to the Reformed faith to some degree, and either they're dissatisfied with their non-Reformed church, or maybe their flat-lined Reformed church, or this is their opportunity to change from one Reformed church to another. So, anyway, if you have a weak pulse, what he says, it's time to rehabilitate your congregation's heart, which that's what this book is all about. And then the third, which I thought was pretty interesting, rapid heartbeat. So he doesn't talk. So what did you?
It can be very dangerous.
Right. Rapid heartbeat. Right. I was looking for that healthy heartbeat, but it's not on here. He didn't put it in here. So he's just talking about heart problems. The third, the rapid heartbeat, which I don't think that we have to worry too much about. Maybe there's aspects of it. They launch outreach program after outreach program with initiative after initiative. But it never bears any fruit, but they just keep trying. And churches like this often experience frustration when they try lots of programs but never find something that works. They need to channel their energy, time, and resources into a sustainable approach to church-wide evangelism. And I really like this. Evangelism is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's not a fad, it's the fabric of a healthy church. It's not a system or program, it's the natural fruit of a church that loves God. So, so what do you think if you were to evaluate the heart of Harvest with those three, the flat line, the weak heartbeat or the weak pulse, and the rapid heartbeat? And I think, honestly, I think you could say there's elements of all three, which is okay. You don't have to just pick one, but yes, Troy. So somewhere between a weak pulse and a rapid heartbeat. Well, no, I think what you're saying is there's elements of both, right? Okay. So there are some things that we do that demonstrate a weak pulse. There's some things that we do that demonstrate a rapid heartbeat, you know, where we're just trying these things kind of tactically without having a good strategic foundation for it. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to? What's your evaluation of the heartbeat of Harvest Tabitha?
Well, my perspective is kind of interesting. I attended the church from the time I was 4 to 21 years old, like pretty much my whole childhood and life. And then I went to a different church for almost 10 years. And then due to my circumstances, I'm back. And it's really interesting to be back here with my children about the same age that I was as a child and to just see that it's like there's, I can feel the love of Jesus here. I can sense there's a true community and just the way I've been treated. Mm-hmm. So much love, and it's genuine Christian love. It speaks volumes of this church. So just from coming from that perspective of growing up in here, moving now as an adult with a mom and coming back with my own kids, I feel just it's a really good testimony. And I don't think you need big, huge numbers to show the love of Christ. You know, it's,
that's good. Yes. Anybody else? Any other testimonials? No. But I think, and it brings up a good point. You know, why are we doing this? And I can tell you, as a session, it has nothing to do with growing the numbers of Harvest. We're not. We don't think like, oh, we're so small. We need to get bigger. That's not one of our concerns. Our concern is, are we as a church faithful to the Great Commission? Are we faithful to what God has called us? I mean, the whole purpose of being a church, are we faithful? So whether God supplies a whole bunch of numbers or it runs people off, which either one of those, I mean, both of those could be possibilities, right? You know, we leave that up to the Lord. We just want to do what's faithful. So, and I don't think that you'll see in this book that there's a big push on numbers. I think it's and another thing I like about it is it's faithful to the mission of the church. Yes, Renee?
The three quick pieces. Were we talking about love for God? It sounds like
no. We're
love for the lost.
Well, we're right here talking about, well, we're talking about love for God, yes. So is our heartbeat for the Lord, our love for the Lord, how strong is it? And
it just sounds like the whole thing's been about how focused are we on, you know, people coming in, or people in the community, or outreach.
Those are just kind of symptoms, right? Of, I mean, how do you express? And we'll get to other ways that you express. This is just kind of the beginning of it. But that's a good point. I mean, this is the introduction to this chapter on loving God. So, yeah, I mean, you could look as a congregation, which we'll get to in just a minute, what are some other ways to grow our love for God? And it's not on those things that we do, you know, reaching out and so on and so forth. It's much simpler than that. So let's talk about that, developing a growing love for God. And the first thing that we're reminded to do is to not forsake our first love. Can anybody tell me where Scripture tells us about that? Galatians 2? Revelation. Okay, so it's on the notes. Okay, thank you, Troy. yes. I have my teacher's notes up. I should have my class notes up so I can know exactly what you're seeing there. Okay, so Revelation 2, 1 through 7. And this is to the church of Ephesus, right, which has a letter written to it from Paul. And a lot of interesting things going on there, but hear how the church is described. Some very positive things that the angel, that the Holy Spirit writes to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Okay, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. That's all good stuff. I mean, that's describing one of the first churches of Christ and what they went through. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And so we'll just end it right there. But what do you think that means, that you have abandoned the love you had at first? Well, first of all, okay, go ahead, Laura. Okay, but okay, but there's an implication there, right? That at one time, right? At one time, you had a certain love for God. That love is, and I don't know. Can you think back to when you became a believer? And this is something we've talked about several times. We'll continue to talk about it. That new love, that brand new. It's like an urgency to learn more about God, to explore God's word, to find out from other people that know him, more about him, expressing that love in faithfulness to the word that you learn about him from. So that's, you know, it's that first love. That's why I think it's called that, that love that you had at the beginning. And falling from it could mean what? Not that you don't love God anymore, not that you hate God, but that you have you haven't maintained that first love. And that, I think, is our challenge, is how do we cultivate amongst us in this congregation so that we don't lose that first love, that we, if we do, and we will, how do we get back to it? How do we encourage one another to come back to that first love? And then, as a whole, as a congregation, demonstrate that to others around us. Yeah, Troy. And this will be the last.
Might have
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. So it could be either one. It could be that they have just stopped doing those things altogether. Maybe they've changed their mind. They've looked for a different way, or false teaching has come in, and they've stopped doing those things that are faithful to God's word, or they've replaced it, kind of get back to the Pharisaical view, right? Phariseeism comes in. You are practicing, you know, you're doing good things, or seemingly good things, but it's missing the mark. It's those things that draw you away from a love for God and into a love for other things, substitutes for God. So, okay, so we will wrap up this chapter next week. There's still a lot of good meat in this chapter when we get into preparing the soil, scattering the seed, and watering with prayer. A lot of good prayer recommendations as well. So, okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time to look into your word and to see how much you love us and how deep that love has gone into our lives. Lord, we just pray that you would give us the conviction of our hearts that you speak to through all the means of grace to just evaluate where our love for you really is individually and look for ways to rekindle or to grow or to return to that first love, to truly love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. It's what we desire to do, and encourage one another to do that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you're back?
We're going to be going back up, but Allison's family is all good.